So we're here in West Bay. It's a beautiful day and we're at West Bay Discovery Centre inside with the light pouring through these beautiful arch windows. There's a room full of images and pictures and artifacts that kind of tell the story really of West Bay's history. And we're very lucky we're with John West, who's one of the trustees, one of the founders. Last time I saw you, you were scrubbing and painting the floors here and this beautiful wooden floor. So John, how did this come about, this Discovery Centre, and what does it do on a weekly basis?
Well, there was long needed interpretation centre in West Bay. We needed something to tell local people and visitors all about West Bay and its history. And the building became available, and it took a number of years to set it up and to get funding. But we opened in 2018. And what we've got now is a treasure trove of local information, history, wildlife, lots of hands-on activities for people of all ages, really.
Brilliant. And you've obviously got going right back through deep time to the kind of Jurassic Coast, and you've got things about the fossils that are found here. But you've also, in the far corner there, we just look over, you've also got a little bit of history about the shipbuilding, and it's that we're interested in today. So I think we're going to step outside and just take a look at the building from the outside, and then we can maybe start our story of shipbuilding in West Bay. So we've just stepped outside. The door is standing by the porch, and you can see now this beautiful building was clearly a chapel in its original building. Why was this chapel built, and do we know who built it?
Yes, so going back into the early 19th century, Methodism was becoming increasingly popular, particularly in the southwest. And here in West Bay, often the preachers would talk to local fishermen from their boats in the harbour. But there was a demand to have a permanent place of worship here. And so with the agreement of the harbour commissioners, this piece of land was made available. And in 1849, the Methodist Chapel was opened. It had been built by local shipbuilders, Elias and John Cox. And they were very much involved in Methodism as well. So the building continued to be actively used to around about 2006. At which time the Methodists, due to the falling numbers in their congregation, handed it over.
It's a great image, isn't it, of preachers standing on a ship or a boat and preaching to their congregation, almost sort of biblical scene. But we're going to move away from the building and maybe kind of focus on the ships. And we're not far from the harbour. The herring gulls are calling us on. So let's just have a look at the harbour as the River Brick comes in down towards West Bay. So we're now standing by the beautiful harbour. There's a few fishing boats bobbing along on the water surface. And obviously we're backs to the sea here, John, and we're looking up the River Brit. And there's a clue in the name Bridport. There must have been vessels and boats coming up this river into Bridport in times going back a long way, no?
Yeah, I mean, there are records of boats coming up the river as early as the 12th century. But obviously at that point, there wasn't a proper harbour. It was no more than the creek, and ships would probably go up possibly as far as where Palmer's Brewery is today to unload their cargoes and come back down.
But eventually, I suppose, the numbers of ships and the size of ships would have demanded that something like a harbour was built. When was that first decided and built?
Yeah, well, I think it was an incremental thing, and there was a long struggle between man and nature really to maintain some sort of harbour here. And it wasn't until around about 1720 that the first plans were made for a proper harbour such as we have here today, and an Act of Parliament was passed enabling the construction to take place. A contractor was commissioned at a price of £3,500 in the money of the time. And the harbour was built, and the river, which formerly flowed out quite close to East Cliff, was moved some 200 yards to where we see it today, coming out between the piers. So the piers were built, and the weir, a sluice gate, was constructed. That cost around about £500, apparently. But it was constructed in a way that ships, small ships at least, could still find their way up the river.
Ah, okay. So the size of the harbour, as we can see it now, and it's well made and well defended and still occasionally dredged, is that right?
It is, yes. Every year, almost, it has to be dredged to keep it free of silt.
Ship shape. and of course, that would have allowed all sorts of vessels to come up, and there would have been different trades associated with the harbour. What sort of things were happening, and what kind of ships were coming here?
ready.
Okay, so there had been a variety of different ships coming into the harbour at that time, bringing in coal, timber, flax and hemp, possibly from Norway and from Russia. And the exports would have been rope, sand and gravel. A lot of the assistance would have been provided by horse and cart loading up the ships. You'd have heard the sound of horses' hooves on the hard surface at that stage. But trade really boomed for a long time here after the harbour had been improved.
Yeah. And one of those boom times and one of the connections with Bridport and West Bay was the Newfoundland fishery, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a building just across there, which we all know locally as the Salt House, and that has a little story to tell. So let's go around and talk about the Salt House. So we're outside one of West Bay's historic buildings and most prominent buildings, which is the Salt House. It's a long, low building. Beautiful stonework with a great wooden doors, and obviously it was a place where presumably salt was stored, John, was it? And that was for the Newfoundland fishery. Tell me about that.
Yes, the name very much describes its purpose, doesn't it? The Newfoundland fishery lasted from around 1600 to 1800, and each year, each spring, many boats would cross from the southwest of England over the Atlantic to Newfoundland and fish for cod.
This was a rich fishing grounds, was it? This was a lot of cod in those times.
It was a very rich fishing ground, apparently, in those times. And the fishing would be carried out by long lines. And they set up a temporary settlement in Newfoundland where they would stay from spring to early autumn catching the fish. And the fish would be washed and salted and dried on huge racks which were outside. And once the fish were dry, they would then be transported back to southern Europe, to Spain, Portugal, Italy, and where today dried fish is still quite popular. And from that region, the boats would then collect wine, spirits, and more salt, which they would bring back to Europe, completing what was called a triangular trade route.
So this must have brought quite a lot of both wealth and employment to this particular area, to Bridport and West Bay.
Yes, I believe it did. Obviously, people like wine merchants were established, and it helped contribute quite a lot to the wealth of people in this area.
And a lot of the people that live in Bridport would have been out, that would have been their profession, out on the ships on the Newfoundland fishery.
We imagine that some, but not all of them, were involved in that. It was probably quite a tough existence, you know, going over to right. Newfoundland for 6 months, quite a dangerous occupation, and some actually settled over there and never came back.
So we've moved around to the other corner of West Bay Harbour, and we can see a couple of boats that are out on dry dock there, I guess being repaired, John, or having some work done on them. But going back to, I don't know, sort of the mid-1700s, there would have been a lot of industry here around ships, building, repairing, making ships. Paint a picture of what it would have been like here in those times.
Yeah, I think shipbuilding is part of West Bay's hidden history that many people aren't aware of today, and there's virtually no trace of it left. Between about 1760 and 1870, any time during those years, if you'd wandered along this side of the harbour, you'd have heard the sound of wood tools, of saws, of mallets on wood, and you'd also smelt the pine tar cork that was driven into the gaps between the planks to keep the ships watertight. So there was a big shipbuilding industry here.
Was that just ships that were being used by local fishery owners, or was it ships built for all over the UK?
Amazingly, there was a whole range of ships of different sizes that were built for a variety of purposes and ended up all around the UK. Brigantines, brigs, sloops, fishing smacks, all sorts of vessels, around about 350 in total, were built over a period of 110 years.
And how many people would have been involved in that industry in its entirety?
We believe at its peak there were around about 300 people employed in shipbuilding here in West Bay, and it was obviously quite a big source of employment for local people, and tied in a way with the rope industry as well.
Yeah, of course. And there are a couple of famous ships. There's one that you were telling me about earlier. It's called the Speedy. Now that sounds like a boat that has a story to it. What, tell me about the Speedy.
Yes, the name very much captures what the purpose of the ship was. It was built in 1853 with the purpose of carrying passengers and freight to Australia. And it was a large ship, far the largest actually built here in West Bay, over 200 foot in length. And it must have been a massive task to actually just launch it and get it seaborne here. But it made the journey to Australia in some 92 days, which is a journey of over 13,000 miles. So at that time, that was a massive achievement.
So that was one of the fastest ships of its time. So what sort of area would have been involved in the shipbuilding in West Bay, John?
Well, looking at where we are today, the area that is currently covered by Windy Corner, the three-storey flats, and going back further than that, an area of around about 13 acres comprised the shipyard, and there were around about 13 permanent dwellings on there, and obviously there was security, and the master in charge of the shipyard would have lived there. There were also six slipways at one point, giving access to the harbour from the shipyard, so it was quite a sizeable undertaking.
Absolutely. And you talked about a period of just over, say, 100 years when the shipbuilding was at its most prominent. What caused the decline, the slow decline in shipbuilding in this area?
I think it was very much part of a national trend where wooden ships were being replaced by iron and steel, and wind was being replaced by steam. So the kind of ships that they were building here in West Bay became redundant and superseded by more modern vessels.
And do we know what the last ship to be built here was?
Yes, we believe the last ship built here was called the Lillian, which was built around about 1870.
And that was, again, a passenger ship? Or?
Again, yes, it was, I believe, a passenger ship.
And then the bigger ships of iron that you're talking about now, they would have been built in much bigger harbours and shipbuilding areas than West Bay.
Yes, places like Merseyside, for example, at that point, and Harland and Wolff were a big shipbuilding company. Those sort of bigger, more industrial shipyards were coming to the fore. And so the smaller shipyards like West Bay lost their prominence, and West Bay Shipyard finally closed around about 1870.
So although I think it's probably fair to say it's a little bit of a hidden history, the shipbuilding of West Bay, the shipyards have long gone. We've still got the harbour here, and there's the Salt House glinting in the sunlight there. And then, of course, for those who'd like to find out more, there's the West Bay Discovery Centre itself, which tells that story and many other stories.
Yes, and in the Discovery Centre, we have pictures of the Speedy, and we have examples of the sort of tools that have been used in the shipyard and other hands-on activities. So if you want to know more, please come to the Discovery Centre and take a look.
So, John, thank you for sharing that history, and we hope that many people come to walk through West Bay and enjoy that history coming to life.